Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
There's a report in this morning's Irish Independent suggesting that the current NAMA boss, Brendan McDonagh, will be appointed as the government's new housing czar following a cabinet meeting on Tuesday. If that does come to pass, he is going to be heading up the newly established Strategic Housing Activation Office. Describing how this body would work earlier this year, the Housing Minister, James Brown, said, "It is not going to be another departmental office. It is going to be external. It's going to be people who are experienced at kicking open doors to get accelerated housing delivery." Well, here to discuss this now is Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer in Housing at TU Dublin. Good morning to you, Mr. Morning, Sir. Do we need a so-called housing czar?
Well, isn't that a great question? Because if you think about it, if you're a minister appointing somebody to do this function, which is essentially your function as the Minister for Housing, what is your role? What does that say? Is it a tacit admission that all the ministers and officials who have gone before you have been a failure? Is it a tacit admission that maybe you're not up to the job yourself? It's adding another layer of bureaucracy into an already, you know, highly bureaucratic system. It also calls into question, Philip, then, what the role of kind of places like the housing agency, right, which was set up in about 2012 to advise government on strategic housing, what the role of that will be then, if is it going to be supplanted by a housing czar? It also calls into question, like, why do we need this when we've had numerous conferences, workshops, I've been at them, called by various ministers, including like Simon Coveney and Dara O'Brien, to say, to identify what the problems are. And I'm sitting there as a sole academic surrounded by all the industry experts, and they've identified all the problems over the years. The department has lobbied 757 times last year. I'm sure a lot of the issues were identified in those lobbying submissions. So you kind of wonder, what is the point of
this? Okay, well, let me tell you what the government says is the point of it, as reported in today's Irish Independent. While the Housing Minister is focused on policy, strategy and delivering the necessary funding, Mr. McDonagh would be responsible for putting some weight behind housing plans, gathering state agencies together and, I'm not sure I understand the meaning of this, getting some heads in the room, a government source said. Were you not one of the heads already in the room?
I'm a very minor head in all this, Philip, but the heads in the, have been gathered in various rooms over the years, because I've seen them and I've been there myself over the years, and they know pretty much what the problems are. So, you know, the cynic in me would suggest, is this a bit of political optics? Is this an idea? Because if you look in the story, it talks about kicking down doors. You know, is this some sort of political theatre to add a bit of dynamism into what is a
lacklustre
ministry?
I know you can't possibly think that there isn't any area of public policy that wouldn't do or benefit from somebody saying, "Brush the girt there now, folks, hurry up."
Yeah, no, absolutely. But surely this is why, like, we have a Department of Housing with one Secretary General and 11 Assistant Secretary Generals. Have they not been doing their job? Is this not their job over the years? As the various ministers that have gone before, James Brown, is this saying that they haven't been doing that? I mean, the Department have commissioned numerous reports. Most recently, of course, last year was the publication of the Housing Commission report, which went on for 2 years, you know, the Housing Commission. And that was kind of almost put in the bin as soon as it was put out. But that report identified in itself many of the problems that apparently now Brendan McDonagh is going to have to go out and re-identify.
You refer to him as an extra layer of management. I went and had a look, or tried to do a count of the number of agencies operating in this area this morning. You've got the Land Development Agency, you've got the Housing Agency, you've got the Housing Finance Agency, you've got the Residential Tenancies Board, you've got 520 approved housing bodies. You have on board Planola, and then obviously when you start looking at land and servicing that land, you've got the Commissioner for the Regulation of Utilities, and so on and so on and so on. Would you be afraid that those agencies might now be in fact robbed of agency because the heads of them are going to feel that they have to report first to the housing czar before doing anything?
I suspect you've missed a few of them there, actually.
Oh, I gave up. I gave up.
But I suspect that they will probably be shaking their heads at this and going the same as me. Like, what is the point of this? Like, there is, we've been very clear, and people like Uisce Air and Irish Water have been very clear about the problems. In fact, that they, you know, they can't supply water to more than 30 or 35,000 new houses every year. And the ESB have been out there. We've had, like, I can't understand what new problems that Brendan McDonagh is going to identify that haven't been in the media or the public ether for a long time
far. Here's one suggestion, and that is that that department has been criticised for being too interventionist and doing too much micromanaging. Might it be not a bad idea to have somebody to go off and kick in doors and get people to move at the pace that they should be moving at, and let the department concentrate on strategy and policy.
Yeah, the Department of Housing in Ireland is one of the most centralised government departments in and across Europe, as a department with responsibility for housing, one of the most centralised. At the moment, they're busy interfering in a Dublin City Council plan to refurbish Oliver Bond, the flats there, which have been going on for 20 years. And the Department of Housing have poked their nose in there and said, you can't do what they propose to do, which is reduce the number of apartments from 72 to 48 or whatever.
And
it
are
is.
You saying that that wouldn't happen anywhere else in
Nowhere
Europe?
Nowhere else.
You see a government department intervening in one project.
Would a government department with responsibility for housing policy nationally be interfering in a local decision-making enterprise? So what happens then to Brendan McDonagh if he discovers that a lot of the problem is actually with the department itself? Something that myself and others have been saying for many years. The micromanagement, the centralisation of power, the creation of poor policy that has made housing prices higher and not lower. What if Mr. McDonagh discovers that the problems are actually very much internal and not external? That's a tricky one, particularly for someone like Mr. McDonagh, with no disrespect to him, you know, has been a member of the establishment for 20 years, running NAMA and all that kind of good stuff that he did. So now he what happens if he has to turn on his employers effectively and say, well, actually, guys, you are part of the problem here. You are a big part of the problem. And because the impression you get from this, right, and from his role, is that it's going out there to try and control a market over which no government has control over a market, when really what they do have control over is their own department and their own policies, good or bad, and their own ways of doing things, efficiencies and inefficiencies. And I suspect it would be much better for Mr. McDonagh to start taking a look at the internal machinations of the Department of Housing rather than to control a market over which it has no control.
Do you think that with this appointment, if it goes ahead, that government is implicitly saying this minister needs to have somebody of more experience at his side?
Well, there's a few things that are implicit in the creation of a role like this. I mean, does it cast doubt over the integrity and the success or otherwise of previous ministers, for example? What does it say about current officials? Because a lot of the work that seems to be put on the plate of Mr. McDonagh is work that the department should already be doing. Are we saying here that the department hasn't been doing this? Have they not been doing it to an appropriate standard? Are they too caught up in themselves? Are they not, you know, in terms of being siloed? It says an awful lot of things. And the other thing it could be, if we continue to miss housing targets, say national output every year, annual output, as we did last year, is Mr. McDonagh going to be set up as a fall guy for that then? Or will the minister have to step up and take responsibility for this? So there's a lot of things implicit in this. But to me, it kind of says this is an appointment of somebody with loads of years' experience. He's not really independent in that he has been in the fold for many, many years, like running NAMA. Is this an appointment of somebody to tell us things that we already know?
Can we move on a little bit and actually onto one of those targets? The social housing targets, which we reported yesterday on RT, had been missed. Without saying as an answer, because we didn't build enough houses, Philip, why did we miss this target?
Not only did we miss the targets, Philip, we missed them by far more than the figures are detailing you. The figures, the Department of Housing are known in my world for being very clever with the way they present numbers. And the numbers that were presented this week actually totally overestimate the amount of delivery of housing. For example, under their heading of affordable housing, there's a thing called shared equity. And instead of counting the people that are actually in shared equity homes that have been bought with shared equity, they count the number of approvals for shared equity. So you apply for shared equity and they're counting the number of approvals rather than people in housing. So that adds 1,100 to the figure that shouldn't be there. It includes things like people who took up the vacant housing refurbishment grant, you know, the 50,000 grant. I'm aware of somebody who has a house worth 1.5 million who got that 50,000 vacant housing refurbishment grant. Why that comes under the heading of affordable housing, I don't know. So the figures have been really, you know, heavily massaged to make them look better than they are. One of the reasons that we aren't hitting the target, we didn't hit the target last year, is because we're very much reliant not only for our national housing, for our private housing output, but also increasingly reliant for our social housing output on the private sector. And when the private sector moves at its own pace and it does what it needs to do when the price is right for it. So when you're reliant on the private sector to deliver your social housing now as well as your private housing, when the private sector, when interest rates, for example, for the private sector go too high and make it, you know, less affordable to build, they don't build as much, and then therefore our social housing output or our input into our housing stock as social housing also reduces commensurately as well.
That only makes a partial amount of sense to me, though, because I mean, like, I understand that access to finance is hard fought for and hard won. I understand that materials are more expensive than ever, but so too are the prices that they're going to get when these houses are actually sold. Surely that's sufficient incentive for builders to be building at a rate of knots.
Yeah, you would think so, but you know, the market only delivers what the market needs to deliver to keep prices high. You know, so the market, you know, every developer out there with planning permission for apartments who wants to sell them to the government. I mean, if prices keep rising, you know, why would you settle today when if you hang on for 10 or 12 months, you might get more next year? So there's a drip feed element to this as well that goes on, and it happens in all housing markets everywhere. It's not unique to Ireland. This is part of the basic economics of housing. But it's also, you know, if we look at the statistics, Sligo County Council directly built zero houses last year. You know, every year there are county councils out there who are building zero housing. I mean, that's wrong. I mean, there is no council in Ireland that does not have a really big social housing waiting list. And the idea that there are local authorities out there who are doing nothing during a year is absolutely wrong. So that's a big part of the problem.
Well, that might be the first place that Brendan McDonagh needs to head with a big size 10 pair of hobnail boots on them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you talk to councillors in particular, but if you talk to local authority officials, they will say that one of the biggest problems they have is dealing with the Department of Housing, because every social housing house that they want to build above 7 or 8 units, whatever it is, has to go through a 4-stage process with the Department of Housing. So it all circles back in a way to the Custom House, which Mr. McDonagh, I'm sure, will find out very quickly.
The ECB recently lowered interest rates again. Good news or bad news? It's hard to figure out which ultimately in the long run.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. If you're looking to buy a house, it's good news because it means that your mortgage repayments will come down, which means you can borrow more. So you can go out and the house that you were going to buy for 350,000, you can now buy for 375,000.
But if you can borrow more...
Yeah, the prices are going to go up. And this is it. So the way it works is that research from the Bank of England and our own central bank and numerous studies have shown that for every 1% decrease in ECB rates, if they're passed on, that's a 3% increase in house prices. And if you add that into wage inflation, which is going to be about 4-4.5% this year, you add that into immigration, people coming into the country, demographic demand, people having more babies, all that kind of stuff, you'll find very quickly that all these things come together to just raise house prices effectively. So if you're a house builder, excellent. It means you'll keep building because house prices will keep rising. If you're somebody looking to buy a house, it means you can borrow more. You'll pay more for the house, but your affordability level should, in other words, the amount you pay every month should stay the same as a proportion of your salary. But, you know, for the nation as a whole, rising house prices don't benefit everybody as such. I mean, we're all, anybody who's a homeowner, for sure, the vast majority of our national wealth per person is based in our houses if you're a homeowner. But really, rising prices aren't great nationally.
Rising prices, as you say, something of an almost guaranteed certainty. But when you're talking to these heads in the industry, are they wary? Are they concerned about Trump injected uncertainty or chaos?
One of the big things that developers and people involved in housing are, like, whether you're a approved housing body or a private sector developer, are worried about our interest rates. That's that's the big thing. And what we've seen so far in the reaction from the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has been a reduction in rates, which is a good thing for the development industry. It means it's cheaper to borrow. It means people can afford to pay more. So, which is a kind of a counterintuitive response to Trump in a way. But if it keeps going like that, well, what you'll find is it's more affordable. It's cheaper to borrow money, but it also means people will be able to afford to pay more for their housing.
Lorcan, sir, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. HHC, the synthetic version of THC, after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.